Guys, my name is Dan. If you haven't met me before, I'm one of the pastors here. Happy Mid-Autumn Festival. How many of you guys have had mooncakes? Okay, a few of you. So this morning, one of my youth leaders' mom just gave me one, and it was quite delicious. I gave Kat some to try, and she said that was the best mooncake that she's ever had. She hasn't had a lot of mooncakes. So if you guys have any, any mooncakes to share, feel free to share with Catherine. But today we're gonna continue with our Hebrew series, chapter 5 to 6. And this morning I did something a little bit different with my sermon. At the end of my talk, there was some response time for people to respond to what God has said. And I thought tonight it would be good that we also have similar thing, that there will be some response time at the end. And, you know, I want you guys to be honest with yourself after hearing this sermon today. You know, at church, we don't do pretend. And I know, like, being in a Chinese culture, there's that face thing, you know. If I share this about myself, then people would judge me or people would think about this of me. But let me just tell you this, that at church, there is no judgment. We're here because of Jesus, and Jesus has accepted us just as we are. And he wants you to keep growing and to keep being transformed to be more like him. So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that today we will hear your voice. And not just hear your voice, but we will listen. We will let it transform our hearts from the inside out. We pray for your spirit to be at work in each of us, that we may repent, and that we may continue to have faith in you and persevere until the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many of you take regular medications? You're all still young, you probably don't. But I'm a pharmacist by trade, part-time. And one of the things I do is I dispense medications. And when I dispense medication, I have to put some of these labels on there. They're called the cautionary and advisory label. So, you know, there's things like you have to swallow whole the tablet, you have to have special handling, so, you know, some drug might be cytotoxic, so if you touch it with your bare hand, you might lose your finger. There's some warning, like, you know, if you take this medication, it will turn your urine into brown color. So there's just all these warnings, but this warning here, this is one of the ones that, as a pharmacist, we're required to actually put it on. If this medication can cause drowsiness, it's actually by law that we have to put this on. And because if we don't warn our patient about this, and they took the medication that can cause drowsiness, and they drive, and if they had an accident, it's almost like driving under the influence of alcohol, and if they have an accident, it'll be on us because we didn't warn them and we didn't put this label on the box to warn them. So the warnings are there to prevent death and to save people's lives. But we know that a lot of people still don't heed the warnings. You know, one of the top reasons that people get admitted into the hospital is because of medication overuse or medication side effects. And even, you know, even for ourselves, you might not take medication, but you might be driving and you go to the stop sign. How many of us actually stop for 3 seconds? That's the law. You have to stop for 3 seconds before you move forward. We just slow down. I was like, okay, it looks like we're stopping, and then you just go. Or even, like, you know, I've seen people, like, when I was back in Western Australia near the beach, there was a cliff. There'd be sign on the cliff that don't jump from the cliff into the water. And there's still people jumping off the cliff. And actually, there's been lives lost just because of that, because they didn't heed the warning. Did you know that the Bible is actually full of warnings as well? Now, in the Old Testament, God actually warned his people, if they don't stop rebelling, they're going to be judged. And when they actually didn't listen to God, they were exiled into other nations. And even in the New Testament, Jesus warned his audience that if you don't repent today, there's something worse could happen to you. And that's to face the wrath of God, the judgment of God. And today we come to Hebrews, and this is one of the warning passages that we have here. And I just want to plead with you to heed the warning. Don't do the opposite. Listen to God and do not harden your heart. Now, sometimes we think of warnings as insensitive, rude, and controlling. You know, you might even heard this from your parents before. If you don't clean your room, if you don't wash the dishes, you're going to be grounded. Or you might hear this from your, I don't know, from your friend. If you don't do this for me, or if you don't do that, I'm going to leave you. But biblical warnings are different. They're not there to want to control you or to tell you that you need to do this just for the sake of doing this. Biblical warnings are means of grace. It's a way that God used to bring his people back to repentance, to warn people to keep trusting in him, to keep persevering so that they will not fall away or face the judgment. Now, I know it's easy when you listen to the warnings, you might be thinking, oh, the person on my right needs to hear this right now. Or the person on my left needs to hear this right now. Or that person in my small group needs to hear this right now. Or that my, you know, my brother and sister needs to hear this right now. But let me tell you, today's warning is for you. It's for you. Do you guys know who this person is? It's Joshua Harris. He's one of the heavyweights in the Christian world. You know, he's a pastor of mega church, and he wrote this book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And I think he wrote a second one called I Kiss Dating Goodbye. So it was just denouncing his first book. But not only he denounced his first book, but he also denounced his faith just a few weeks ago. And you know, he's the kind of Christian that we think, you know, he's a pastor, mature, our example. But even him is not immune from walking away from God. Even him is not immune from falling away. So just because you're a Bible study leader, just because you come to church every week, you're not immune from walking away, from the temptation of falling away. So the warning is for you. So listen to God and do not harden your heart. Well, let's get into the passage. Today, I'm just going to have three sections. So firstly, what is the warning about? Secondly, what happens if we don't heed the warning? And then thirdly, this is where I'll get you to do the work. You're going to respond. There's going to be a response time. How will you respond to the warning today? And there are a lot to go through here, but if there's anything I want to get you, want you to get out of the passage, is this. It's the last verse of this passage, that we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So remember that. So firstly, what is the warning about? Well, simply put, the warning is to not to become lazy. The warning is to not become lazy. Chapter 5, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, if we remember last week, it was Jonah, he preached about Jesus being our high priest, and this is the passage that following on that. And the writer of Hebrews is saying to his readers, he's saying, you know, I'm talking to you guys about Jesus as being the high priest, but I find it hard to explain to you guys because you no longer try to understand. Now he's saying, you're babies. You haven't grown up. You're still drinking on milk. You should be feeding on solid food right now, but you're not. You should be teaching others about Jesus, but you're not. He's not saying that everyone should be a pastor, everyone should preach, but if you've been a Christian for a number of years now, then you should be mature enough to explain the content of your faith to others. And the writer of Hebrews is saying to them, you should be able to explain the gospel to others, but you can't because you're still a baby. Now that's a photo of a baby. It's not mine, but our baby would be cuter, Eurasian baby. But you know, babies are generally cute, right? Babies are generally cute, and this is my niece. There you go. So my sister just took that the other day and she sent it to me. Very cute, right? And babies, they're cute at first, but if babies remains a baby after 2 years, after 5 years, after 10 years, you think that there's something wrong, right? And I'll just, let's look at this. Look at this guy. It's a grown adult, but still acting like a baby. So similarly, if you've been a Christian for 2 years, for 5 years, for 10 years, and you're still the same as you when you first became a Christian, then there's something wrong. Like this picture is very disturbing. It's very disturbing. Now, some of you may call yourself a Christian, but you probably just lost that passion. You don't even try to understand God anymore. You don't even try to read the Word of God. You don't try to understand what the Bible is saying to you. Or maybe you do read the Bible, but you just rush through the reading. The Word of God is just not a priority in your life anymore. And you don't try to even apply it in your life. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And you know, in the last few weeks, we've been going through Hebrews. We heard about Jesus being God. Jesus came down as human to die for us. He gave us rest, and he being our high priest. How has this truth transformed your life in the last few weeks? Anything change in your life? Well, the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't be lazy. Grow up. Don't be lazy. Grow up. You need to be mature. You need to move on from infancy to maturity. You need to stop feeding on milk. You need to stop feeding on solid food. That's why he says in chapter 6, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. Now, he's not saying that we need to move away from the gospel. We always need the gospel. We are never beyond our need for the gospel. But he's saying that we need to deepen our understanding and application of the gospel in our lives. Now, it's one thing to stick with the gospel, and it's another thing to stick with an immature understanding of it. He's saying, you know the reason, you know why we teach about repentance, why we teach about faith, why we teach about cleansing rites or baptism, why we lay hands on people, why we talk about resurrection and judgment? It's all because of the gospel. All this is because of the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus, who is our Lord, who is God, but humbled himself to die for us so that we can receive full forgiveness from our dead works, from our acts that leads to death. And he did this so that we can have faith, we can have hope, in the resurrection to come. But some people within the church, when the writer of Hebrews is writing, some people still don't get this. They still don't understand what the gospel means for them. You know, we're meant to appreciate the depth of what God has done for us more and more. We need to move on to maturity. But we're too lazy. We don't even try to discern the good from evil in our lives anymore. We might be head full of Bible knowledge, but our lives don't actually reflect what we know. We used to be keen, but recently it's just become a bit boring. It's just become a bit of a chore to come to church to read the Bible. We know what God is calling us to do in terms of repenting, the things that we need to repent on in our lives. But we don't feel like it. We rather indulge in them than to grow up to maturity. Do you guys know what's the vision of our church? Anyone can say the vision of our church here? No, that's all right. So here's a reminder. This is our vision: to be a people of God, growing in Christ, reaching out with the gospel until Jesus returns. So you see that we're meant to grow in Christ. We're meant to grow in Christ. And the warning here is, don't be lazy. Don't be a baby. Grow up. Because there is a dire consequence if you don't. So what happens if we don't heed the warning? Well, we are in danger of falling away. We are in danger of falling away and being cursed. Chapter 6, verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. Now, we'll stumble, and it's normal that as Christians sometimes we stumble. And it's not saying that if you stumble that there will be no return. You know, Jesus is always here to offer forgiveness if you come to Him and confess your sin. But He's saying here, if we keep being lazy, if we start applying the truths of the gospel in our lives, then eventually there will be a point of no return. The longer that you reject the word of God, the easier it is for you to say no to Jesus, and the harder it is for you to turn around the direction of your life. Now, if you call yourself a Christian and you still live in a sin-centered life, I think you all know the things that you do in your lives. If you still live in a sin-centered life rather than a gospel-centered life, then what you're doing is you're actually trampling on the grace of God. You're saying that what Jesus has done on the cross is actually for nothing. You know, that the shame, that the suffering, that the pain that He went through was for nothing. So if you harden your hearts today, you are in danger of falling away. Are you listening? Are you listening to the warning? Are you listening to God? Now, Pastor Andrew talked about this noise-canceling headphones that you use to block out other noises. And sometimes we can wear this noise-canceling headphone in regards to God as well. We wear them to block out His voice in our lives. We don't want to listen. Well, this is the time that you need to take off that headphone and start listening. The other day when I finished work, I was walking and I was at this traffic light, and this lady, she was on her phone, she was talking to someone, and she was completely oblivious of what's going on around her. She didn't even see the traffic light that is red, say, do not cross. And she just kept walking. And then there's this car coming through and started honking, beep, 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 beep. And she was just like, she just kept walking, and she didn't even see the car. And she just kept walking. But fortunately, the driver was fast enough to slow down. But this lady, she didn't know she was actually just seconds away from being hit by a car. She just kept walking. And I just stood there. I was like, what an idiot, you know, this lady. You know, what an idiot. You know, you see the traffic light that say that's red, it's warning you not to cross, because if you know that if you cross, that you're going to be hit by a car. This car coming. Well, I'm just saying to you, don't be like this lady. No, don't be like this lady. Listen to God. Heed his warning. Or else you might fall away. Now, why do you listen to sermon each Sunday? Why do you listen to Pastor Andrew and sometime me or Jono last week? Why do you come and listen? Do you come and listen just for the entertainment value? You know, do you come just to be affirmed? Do you come just because you're here, because your parents are here, or because your friends are here? Do you come just because you're curious about something in the Bible, maybe about the passage today? You're just curious about what Dan would say. Why are you here? Why do you listen to the sermon? One of the scholars, one of the Hebrew scholars, wrote this: the preaching of the word is appointed by God as food for our souls. We should never receive it unless we desire it. So preaching is food for our souls. And we're not using it properly unless we're listening carefully and unless we're expecting to be convicted, to be challenged, to be encouraged, to be built up by it. And if we come to church each Sunday and we're just expecting to be entertained, you know, if there's no jokes in the sermon, then it's not a good sermon. Or if you're expecting to just gain information, then you will never really profit spiritually. All that happens is we become smarter sinners. We need to come to the Word of God, as Pastor Andrew said, ready to be judged by it. When was the last time that you've changed in response to hearing God's Word? When was the last time that you've changed? Now, I'm including myself as well. I know how it is easy to forget God has used preaching to feed me. Now, sometimes I will sit there and I'll start analyzing what the preacher is saying about this, and I was like, oh, he didn't have enough illustration, or he didn't have a very concrete application, or it wasn't very clear. But God has used preaching as food for your soul. And if you come here being a critic of the sermon, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be, but if that's all you do all the time, and you're not getting anything out of it, then there's something wrong. God is pleased when I'm listening out for his voice, even when the preacher's voice is irritating, even if the PowerPoint slide is not that good. And you guys need to be listening to God's voice, even if my sermon is not that good tonight. You need to be listening to God's voice. So it's time to take off these noise-canceling headphones and start listening to God and let his words penetrate deep into your heart so that he can transform you from the inside out. You want to be like this land that produces crops, like in verse 7 to 8. Let's read that. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. So which one are you? Now, are you the land on the left or are you the land on the right? Are you the person that receives God's word and grows in maturity? Or are you the person that receives God's word and you're too lazy to grow anything? We can hear all the great sermons. We can go to Bible study. We can come to church every week. But if you're still a baby after so many years, then you are in danger of falling away. You are in danger of being cursed. You know, that's why the warning is here, is for us to not become lazy, but to grow, to keep growing. Now, I know some of you might be thinking this question, you know, can a genuine Christian fall away in the first place? And I think the answer to this is actually in the whole context, whole book of Hebrews, in the context of Hebrews. And remember that there are many times in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, where the writer urges his readers to persevere in their faith so that they might receive what they have been promised. You know, and there's also a lot of assurance in Hebrews as well. You know, Jesus being our rest, being our high priest, if you trust in him, then you will inherit what has been promised. Just keep holding on. And again, in verse 12, he encourages us to persevere through faith and patience so that we might inherit what has been promised. So verse 9 to 12. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case. The things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. And we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So the people addressed here in verse 9 to 12 are the people who persevere. Now they are the land that produces crops. They are the obedient Christian who respond to God's word. They are convinced of the things to do with salvation. They have hope. They have love for the Lord, and they have persevering faith to the end. They are the true and genuine Christian. And there is a difference between the people described here and also the people described in verse 4 to 6. You know, the people described in verse 4 to 6 are like the land on the left. They may have received the rain, but they don't produce anything. And they might look like, they might have the appearance, you know, they mature, they might have the appearance of experience all the good things of God. But they never really had what belongs to salvation. They never had it. And it was not because of lack of opportunities, but it was because, back in verse 11, they no longer try to understand. So what Hebrew is saying to us today is, if you hear God's voice today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Keep persevering and keep producing fruits, because if you hold back, if you restrain yourself from doing that, then be very, very afraid. Because if we refuse to go God's way, then the consequence will be eternity without God, without Christ. Like I said before, as Christian, we sometimes we do stumble on the way. But we have Jesus, you know, we can hold on to Christ and we can keep moving forward. And when I went back to Perth, I visited my friends. So this is my friend there. So he, if you watch Australian Ninja Warrior, he's one of the ninjas. He called himself the Trading Ninjas. And he took me to this cliff. And he wanted to show me his rock climbing skills. And he got all this safety rope. And he's like, "Dan, take a photo of me." So I did. And if you can see on the photo, he has this safety rope that he holds on to. And you can just imagine if he let go of that, what will happen, right? He will fall. But if he continues to hold on to that rope, then he will be safe. I think Jesus is like this safety rope in our lives. If we let go of Jesus, then we will fall. But if we keep holding on to him, then we will be safe. And the rest of chapter 6 actually gives us that assurance of salvation that we have, that sure hope that we have in Christ. That promise that Christ Jesus will be our rest. That Jesus is our high priest, that he has offered himself and sacrificed himself so that we can have forgiveness, so that we can actually approach God with confidence. So keep holding on. Keep fixing your eyes on Jesus. This is what this series is about, fixing your eyes on Jesus. And stop being lazy, because those who persevere will inherit what has been promised, the promised salvation in the end. So I'm just going to read this again, chapter 6, verse 12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Perseverance is the test of reality. True Christians persevere. They hear the warnings and they take it to their heart. So how will you respond today? How will you respond today? Now, I know most of you here, you know, you've been coming to church for a while. Some of you grew up at this church. And you guys all know where you're at with Jesus. And some of you probably have stopped growing already. You might be serving in ministry. You might even be a leader. You might even be an ex-deacon, or you might be a deacon right now. I'm not pointing out the deacons, by the way, but I'm just saying, if you've been to church for a long time and you're here and you know that you haven't been growing, you have been lazy, you have been complacent, you have been stagnant in your faith, then today Jesus is calling you to repent, to come back to him. You know, some of you might be, you know, last week when I was asking my youth, where are you at with Jesus? Are you in or are you out? I asked them very direct questions. And this one youth just said, oh, I'm in the middle. And, you know, I just thought, like, that's probably what some of you felt like as well. You're just in the middle. You're just stepping your feet in two worlds at the moment. But Jesus is calling you to step over that line, to stop being in the middle fence, but to step over that fence and to be with him. Because there is no middle fence in regards to the things of salvation. It's either you're in or you're out. If you're not in, then you're out. You might be here for the first time today, and you just happen to be here. That's great. We'd love to have you here, but today's message is for you as well. God is calling you to return to him. You know, a lot of us have all these baggages. We have all these sins in our life that we still keep holding on to ourselves. We forget that Jesus has forgiven all of our sins. We forget that Jesus can take all of our burden. You know, you start finding comfort in other things. You start finding security in things, in things that don't really matter eternally. You know, I need to get that very things that I want in my life so that I can feel secure, so that I can feel like I contributed something in my life, so that I know who I am once I achieve that. You know, whether it's getting that house, whether it's getting that course, whether it's getting that job. I think you all know where your struggle is. So right now, I just want you to be honest with yourself. We don't do pretend here at church. If today you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. So right now, I'm just going to give you an opportunity. I want to And this is, I want you to talk to the person around you. Talk to the people around you. And if you have things in your life that you need to confess, or if you feel like today, I want to recommit my life to Jesus, then share that with the people around you. And we're going to use this time as your response, as a response time, and we're going to pray for each other. And maybe you can even talk about how can I make sure that I will keep persevering and not become lazy. How can I make sure that I keep growing in Christ? So I'm just going to give you a few minutes to do that with the people around you. I'll just give you 5 minutes to do that right now. All right, guys. I encourage you to keep the conversations going. You know, I just want to say that, you know, even though I'm a pastor, I'm not beyond the need to grow as well. I'm just another beggar telling another beggars where to find food. And I just want to encourage you guys to not leave here tonight and just to forget, you know, all the things that you've heard. But apply it in your lives. Apply it in your lives. And, you know, if you think that you need to grow in your maturity in Jesus, then, in honesty, I'll ask you, do everything you can to grow. And, you know, one of the ways I find helpful was to have mentors in your life. So if you're someone that you feel like, hey, I really just need someone to help me to walk this journey, to help me to grow, then come and talk to me, and I will hook you up with someone that's more mature or that's experienced in the walk with Jesus. Most of my youth leaders have mentors, and it's been very useful, and it's been great to see them grow. And if you're someone who wants to grow, and if you feel like you need to take this step, then I encourage you to do that. All right, let me pray to finish off. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us the need to not become lazy and to keep growing. So I pray that your Spirit would convict us of the things that we need to repent in our lives. And that we'll keep doing that each day. That we'll live a lives of repentance, a lives filled with hope and faith in you, that we will persevere to the end. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have to do this alone, that we have big family, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ in our lives, that we can do this together and we can encourage one another until the day of Christ. So we ask all this, that you transform us from the inside out to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.